Welcome to Fitness Disrupted, a production of iHeartRadio. I am Tom Holland, and this is Fitness Disrupted. Running 101, how to start a running program. So at the end of every podcast, I give out numerous ways to contact me with questions, and I am getting an awful lot about running. No surprise, I talk about it frequently. I have done numerous shows about it. My first show with the best guest for this topic, or one of the best guests, Dr. Daniel Lieberman from Harvard, a big part of the book Born to Run. Actually, his research titled Born to Run gave the title for that book, supposedly. So yes, I have been a runner for a very long time. I have coached thousands, if you count the books and the camps and the clients over the many years, and the charity I coached for over 10 years at least. So lots and lots of people. I have some experience. I have raced and run all over the world from, 5Ks up to ultra marathons. But I have to always point out that when I was a kid, I could not run. I knew I had potential. But as soon as I started doing the sports and had coaches pushing me during, the hell weeks for football and soccer, I had shin splints. I had ankle issues. I had pretty much every issue you could have. And so I spent my childhood on the bench with insane pain. So to think that I do and have done the events that I have and continue to do. Now at 51, I went out for a 6-mile run today. I love it. Now, I know there are people who don't love it, and I understand why. We'll talk about that. But we were truly born to run. And whenever I talk about running, I say you don't have to be a runner, but the reasons you don't run, those musculoskeletal issues, I can't run because I have a bad fill in the blank knees or knee, hips, back, shin splints, plantar fasciitis, so many issues. My response is, I don't care if you run or not, but we need to fix those things. And so when I was a trainer, one of my simplest yet most effective ways to figure out a client's imbalances was to take them out for a run, for a short run. And then we'd start to dial in what we needed to work on, especially if they were runners. So this show is about those of you out there, many of whom have reached out to me after having listened to the podcast saying, yes, I want to, but here's my issues right now, whether it's weight or, pain jumping back in. So I'm kind of taking all of those, and I will answer them specifically, by the way, in a listener mailbag question answer show as well. But there is so much interest in it. I said, I got to do this show to get us started, to kick it off, and just to simplify. So I am going to break it down into 10 points, 10 tips, 10 things you got to think about when you are starting a running program. And everyone can do it. I know there's so many of you out there listening who say, Tom, yeah, not me. And I have, in all my years, and so many people have yet to really find someone. Now, some people have major issues, but the vast majority of people who have the yeah buts can run when coached correctly, when progressed correctly. And that's a great thing, because we were meant to move. We were meant to move forward. And I want you to have the freedom to be able to enjoy the outdoors. You can also run inside if you want, but to at least have the opportunity and ability to enjoy the outdoors regardless of where you are and go for a run. For me, it has been life-saving. It is one of my favorite things to do for many reasons that I will talk about. All right, quick break. When we come back, 10 tips ways, things you got to think about when you're first starting a running program. We'll be right back. So whenever I do shows, I like to kind of fill the studio with things that are applicable to the show I'm doing. So in front of me right now, I have two books. The first one is The Complete Book of Running by Jim Fix. And it's actually my dad's copy. Jim Fix ran around where I grew up. And so my dad would often run with him, you know, different races and things like that, running groups. And the book, 1977. And this book is credited as single-handedly starting the jogging, jogging, it's a soft J, craze. So that was one of the first, most popular. And then this one's hysterical, actually, because many of us know that joke. Book about running, comedians do this joke all the time. Oh, that, what does it say? Put one foot in front of the other, right? Well, the book I'm holding in my hand right now is by Dr. Timothy Noakes. And let me skip to the back. It is over 900 pages. The Lore of Running. All right. So yes, running is one of the simplest and most natural forms of exercise. But because of many different reasons, so many people can't do it. Think about that. And that's what drives me crazy when you do have those doctors who tell people, you can't run, you shouldn't run, when I know that they can. And maybe we should be looking at the reasons why they can't. Because those same reasons why you can't run, it doesn't end there. If you have the knee issues, the back issues, the shin issues, the weaknesses, that's going to translate into everything in your life, not just running. And as you get older, those issues will become more pronounced. So bulletproofing your body, figuring out those issues, those imbalances, those weaknesses to do what we were born to do is a really good thing in my opinion and experience. All right. And well, let me also say though, I didn't come out of the womb running. As I said, I had those major issues when I was a kid and then I had to slowly get into it after I got away from the sports. So that was a huge thing, by the way. Just bad coaching. Now, a lot of it was they didn't know what they were doing. This is many years ago. And so too much too soon, pushed us too hard, and a couple other issues as well. But it wasn't until I started doing it on my own, the marathons, the, you know, just running and got away from the team sports, that I started figuring out the issues. And then when I made this my career and started studying, then I really figured it out. So I get it. I remember when a 5K race used to scare the heck out of me. But it was slow and it was progress over time. All right, so let's get right into it. Number one, when it comes to starting a running program, you literally cannot start slowly enough. And that goes for three different things. That goes for frequency, the number of times you run a week. That goes for your pace, how fast you run. And that goes for distance. So one of the primary reasons people have issues with running and have to stop, and that includes shin splints, too much too soon. Too much too soon. So a lot of the emails and direct messages I have received about running, I can tell that either by reading between the lines or they say specifically, they're doing too much too soon. You have to start slowly, especially if you're starting in your 40s, your 50s, your 60s. And you can start there. You can start there. In my book that just came out, The Micro Workout Plan, I have three different success stories, two of which, they're all people who started later in life, by the way, or were, you know, successful later in life with their sports. But one male, one female started running in their 50s and went on. And they were not runners. They were the opposite of runners. If you looked at them when they started, or if you asked them, they would say, I can't run. I'm not a runner. And both of them went on to run numerous marathons. Do you have to run a marathon? Absolutely not. But would I love for you to be able to go out and run 3-4 miles whenever you feel like it, whenever you need a little hit of serotonin, whenever you want to get rid of some anxiety, yeah, that's the goal. All right, so you can't start slowly enough. So if you start running once a week, and I'll give you many more specifics as we go through these, that's great. You can't start slowly enough. And if that's 10 minutes at a time, that's great. And if it's a 14-minute mile, 15, I don't care the pace. So it doesn't matter how far you go. You got to start slowly. Doesn't matter how many times a week. You don't want to go too far. You don't want to go every day by any stretch of the imagination. And I couldn't care less how fast you go, nor should you. All right. If you said, okay, but I want a plan, give me more specifics, 3 times a week maximum for a beginner. And those are non-consecutive days. So if you said, okay, I want to run, I really want to, buckle down Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or Monday, Wednesday, Saturday. And that's the most I would start any client on, for the most part, who is a true beginner, and we want to make sure we do avoid injury from the get-go. And let me say this, you're going to have issues, but when you start slowly, those issues are significantly less pronounced, and you deal with them right away. All right? So maximum 3 times a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Monday, Wednesday, Saturday. Give your body time to recover. All right. Number two, and this is a tricky one, get the right shoes for you. Now, this could be a 5-hour podcast just on shoes, and I will do many more on shoes and have touched on it in other podcasts as well. But there is a shoe for you based on your goals, your weight, the way your foot rolls. Does it pronate? Does it supinate? Do you land on your forefoot, on your midfoot, on your rear foot? And what feels good? So the quick advice for the right shoe is, first of all, find the most reputable shoe store in your area and go in and have them look at your shoes now if you're walking around or what you're using if you are running a little bit, so they can look at the wear pattern and what's working for you. And you get a reputable runner, ideally working in a running shoe store, to pick out the right shoes for you. It's not about price, and it's certainly not about fashion. It's function over fashion. The perfect shoe for you, unfortunately, may be the one you like the least aesthetically, visually. But who cares? You don't want any pain from running, any injuries, any issues. So find that reputable store. And once you find a shoe that works for you, you stick with it. You stick with it. All right? So duration. So I said, okay, you're going to run 3 times a week. So you go, okay, how far? And there's two ways you can do this. There's two ways you can do this. You can go by distance, or you can go by time. Distance or time. And you can mix that up as well. So back when I was training and running with people as a coach and a trainer, oftentimes we would go by time. Now it's up to the client, and it's also up to me, because I'm not going to let the client go out and say, yeah, we're going to go for 7 miles. But the thing is, when you go by time, that allows you to go much slower. So in other words, if I say we're going to run 3 miles and the client is running slowly, 13, 14, doesn't matter, basically walking, and we're going to talk about that, how you work walk breaks in, but much easier to go by time and not care about the distance, because that distance, if you're going slowly, it's going to be a long time, is the point, right? So I would prefer for some people, many people, to go by time. It's just easier. You don't have to worry about, the speed you're going at. You're just covering the time. And so for many clients, that was a maximum of 30 minutes. And that may sound ridiculously long to many of you, and it should. But I'm going to talk about throwing walk breaks in, and that's going to make it make sense. Okay? So maximum of 3 times a week to start, somewhere around 30 minutes. And for those of you who are, it's always tough to give pacing and averages, but, that's 2 miles, 3 miles, depending on the person, the speed, but I don't want you to care about that. Okay. So if you need a distance, I would say 3 miles. If you hold me 2 to 3 miles to start, that's it. I want you to start conservatively. You can't start conservatively enough. All right. So I alluded to number four already, and that's the run walk plan. All right. This was popularized by a guy named Jeff Galloway. Phenomenal. He was an Olympian, and he single-handedly started this craze, running and walking. And I've interviewed him in the past. I hope to do so again. Interviewed him years ago. One of the nicest guys you'll ever talk to. And some of you may have heard of the Galloway method, and it's run walking. And you go, ugh. So I know many people go, well, I don't want to walk. And many of the people I coached for half marathons, full marathons would say, Tom, I don't want to walk. And I'd say, well, we're going to discuss that. Now, I get it. The whole point is, oh, I ran a full marathon or a half marathon. But over time, you will go faster and you will have less issues if you throw in walk breaks. And for the beginners, this is absolutely how you have to start, because the vast majority of you, if you're true beginners, you're not going to be able to cover 30 minutes. That's the whole point, is you can't do it yet. And the operative word is yet. So what do you do? So when I used to start with the clients, we would go out, we would run, and basically I would keep my eye on the client. Generally speaking, it was often like 30 seconds, 45 seconds a minute. We'd run for about a minute. And then we would walk for 3, 4, 5 minutes. And then we would run for a minute. And then we would walk for 3, 4, 5 minutes. And that is how you're going to do it. That is the incredibly powerful way for you to start running, is you don't come out of the gate running the whole time. Now, some of you can, but I want you to start slowly, especially if you're starting, you know, at my age, 50, 51 to be specific. But give yourself time. It's not cheating. You are getting the exercise in, and what you're doing is you're building up that endurance. You're building up that cardiovascular strength. You're giving your body time to recover. And so it's interval training to a degree, but is exactly how so many people will be successful. And in my, you know, many years of doing this, the amount of success, those two clients I talked about, it's exactly what we did. And the 50-year-old runner who couldn't run more than a minute when we started became a Boston Marathon qualifier. And he actually reminded me, because this book just came out and I've, you know, put some stuff on social media about him. When he qualified for the Boston Marathon, 340 something marathon PR time. And he ran that time. We did the Boston Marathon 2012 when it was 90 some odd degrees. So we ran, walked the whole thing, and we had to throw his goals out. But my point is, he ran another marathon a week later and set his PR, his personal best. And he was not a runner. We ran, walked. We did everything I'm talking about right now. And he was the furthest thing from a runner when we started. And his goal was not even to be necessarily a runner. His goal was to lose weight, to feel better, to get off medications, and then getting ahead of myself. But my point is, I know so many of you say, it's not me, Tom. And I'm telling you, not just for this show, but all of the topics I talk about, strength training, feeling better, improving yourself. Yes, it is. Quick break, final break. We'll be right back. So run, walk, and here's what you do over time, and it's so fun to see the progression. What happens is, you're running Monday, Wednesday, Friday. You're running for a minute, you're walking for, let's say, 3, 4. And you do that for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Then slowly what's going to happen is, you're going to run for 90 seconds, and you're going to walk for 2.5 minutes. And then you're going to run for 2 minutes, and you're going to walk for 2 minutes. So over time, as you get stronger, and you can just monitor this by your perceived exertion, you will increase the running intervals and decrease the walk intervals until the time comes when, yes, you are running the entire 30 minutes. And many of the fitness apps out there do just this for you. These are what they're doing. And I think I wrote my first run walk plan myself again back in like the mid to late 90s. And Jeff Galloway, again, he's the one. And I always have to say, when I talk about Jeff, a lot of people get annoyed with him because they say, that's not running. Really? Let me say this. All my Ironman races, my fastest ones, I won a very small marathon many years ago. And I tell you that because I ran, walked up until mile 24. For me, it was 10 seconds every mile. And I was in second place, I found out, very small marathon, by the way, till mile 24, when a volunteer said, Tom, you're in second place and the first place guy doesn't look good. So I stopped run walking at that point and ran my fastest marathon ever. And it was 2 weeks after an Ironman. Run walking works, not only if you're just building up, but also if you want to go fast, because there's nothing in the results that there's no asterisk next to your time that says he walked some. No, it's just your finishing time. So if you do want to go faster and you're someone who is listening, who's maybe a more experienced runner and you have not experimented with run walking, you should try it because you can go really fast. If you're trying to win a marathon and it's not a small marathon like the one, you know, I was doing, that's different. If you're an elite athlete, they can't walk. But even the sub elite level where, you know, mine was a 2:54. That's super fast, but for me and my weight and goals, that was good. That was good for me. So that was with walking 10 seconds every mile for 24 miles. All right. So it works. It works. And it's super easy to progress yourself that way. Increase the running, decrease the walking over time. All right. And then number five, I have to put this in here. Just cover the distance or the time. Have to say it one more time and have its own point. That's all that matters. So in other words, if you go out and one day you're walking a little bit more than normal or running slower than normal, it doesn't matter. Your goal is to either cover the distance or the time. That's it. That's success. It doesn't matter how many times you walk. It doesn't matter how long you walk for. It doesn't matter your pace. Success is that you went out and you got your run in Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Or if you're doing 2 days a week, Monday, Thursday. Okay? Number six, you have to cross train. And you should be excited for that recommendation. Cross training will keep you healthy, will keep you excited to run. And that cross training can be so many different things. And I often say that all runners, if they run exclusively, will become triathletes at some point in time, and that is to rehabilitate an injury. In other words, if you just run and you don't do the several things I'm going to say coming up, including cross train, you will get injured. And you will be forced to run or swim or deep water swim or do all the other things I will talk about. So do it prehab versus rehab. Do it before it becomes an issue so you can run injury free. All right. So what is cross training? It's complementary exercise. You know, you can bike. That is one really great complementary form of exercise with running. You can do yoga. You can swim. You can do Pilates. You can box. Doesn't matter. It just needs to be something different than running. Cardiovascular for the most part, but you know, the yoga, the Pilates, phenomenal complementary cross-training forms of exercise. So if you're running Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Tuesday, Thursday, or Tuesday, because I'm going to give you something to do for number seven, and then we'll put it all together. All right, so cross-train, and it doesn't have to be an hour. It doesn't have to be long. It could be a half hour. It can be 20 minutes, swimming for 20 minutes, a 20-minute indoor cycling ride. Cross train using muscles in a different way, continuing to keep up that cardiovascular endurance, and it will help your running. Yes, it will, in more ways than one. All right. Number seven. Yes, you have to strength train. Can't tell you how many times I've written an article or lectured on, does strength training improve running performance? Well, yes. And the primary way it improved, by the way, that it reminds me, I did do one lecture for the American Medical Athletic Association, pretty much one of the only non-doctors who used to lecture. And to start that lecture, that was the question. I said, does strength training improve running performance? And then my next slide was a picture of a band, and it was the band Yes. I was going to say, and I think I said, thank you very much. That's my lecture, but it does. And the primary way for me is that it keeps you injury free. Again, this is where it's so often made too complex, and it also improves running economy and all that stuff. So it improves performance on a physiological level. But the most important way strength training improves your running is it allows you to run, because you become a great runner and you improve your running by running. I just did that show. And I know some people are like, really, is that the takeaway? Yeah. Time in the saddle for biking, miles for running. The more you run, the better runner you will become. The body is a very smart machine. It adapts. It becomes more efficient, stops wasting energy. And when you can do your runs Monday, Wednesday, Friday with no issues, because you're strength training on Tuesday and Saturday maybe, then you have no issues or limited issues. And when the issues happen, they are much smaller. And again, you deal with them right away. So let's stick with that Monday, Wednesday, Friday framework for running. And then I want 2 to 3 days a week strength training. That can be 20 minutes is generally the perfect amount of time to do a running related strength workout. This is not bodybuilding. This is not going to the gym even. You can do them at home. I did a show, 6 exercises I use to bulletproof my body. They're all body weight based for the most part. You're fixing those imbalances. You're strengthening those weak links. Squats and lunges and step ups, things like that. That will go so far. And that takes 20 minutes. You want to do 30, add an extra, round in, do a couple more core exercises. That's fine. But it doesn't have to be hard at all and long at all. It's just strengthening, okay? And you can combine. You can go for a 30-minute run and then come home and do your 15, 20 minutes of leg exercises. Or you can do your leg exercises and then go for your run walk, okay? It's all going to take less than an hour. But it's fixing those imbalances and weaknesses and being consistent that will go so far. So now we got a week. So here's your week. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you're run walking 30 minutes or so. And I keep using that 30 minutes. It can be 10. It can be 1 mile. It's tough to give those guidelines when you're not working with the person one-on-one. But if you're run walking, you may walk 25 of those 30 minutes. But what did I say? It's all about covering the time or the distance, doing both. That's all that matters. And over time, that 5 minutes of running and 25 minutes of walking, it starts to change. It's one of my favorite things is to see that person that I know is probably in their 60s running for what I can tell is, they haven't been running very long. Or that person that has a decent amount of weight to lose out running, because I know how powerful that's going to be to help change their body and their mind. I love that. So Monday, Wednesday, Friday, run. Tuesday, Thursday, strength train. Saturday, cross train. You say, I don't want to do 6 days. And by the way, seventh day, Sunday, rest day. Nothing. Recover. And if you say, I only want 4 days, then you can do your run and strength training on the same day. So there's so many different ways to do it based on your time and how much, how frequently you want to exercise. But if that's your format, 4 days, then Monday, Wednesday, Friday are your runs. Monday, Wednesday, you add in some strength training. And then Saturday, you can do that cross training day. And if you want 2 cross training days, it can be Friday and Saturday as well. So you're starting to see all the different ways you can put together a plan. Number eight. It's great to have a goal race to look forward to. And those 2 success stories I talk about that are in my book, that was a huge part of it for them. And they were not just goal races. This is when it gets super powerful. They were destinations. So we were going to travel. You know, one of the greatest parts of my job over the years is traveling with clients to do things like this. So you can pick a destination, make it part of a vacation, and do an amazing 5K, 10K, half marathon, whatever distance you're shooting for, in a cool place. And then it becomes really powerful. You have a date to train for. You get excited. It gives your workouts that much more purpose and meaning. And let me throw in a third, because I did coach that charity for so many years. If you then do it for a charity, you almost can't fail. It's almost impossible to fail, to not stick with your plan, to not end up doing it. Because now it's more than you. Now it's you're doing something great for your body. You're doing something great for somebody else and a great cause. And then when you have that goal event to shoot for, it all falls into place. So goal race, something to think about. You don't have to. You may say, I just want to go do it, and that's fine. But if you've always wanted to do a certain distance or you've always wanted to go to a certain place, now you can justify it in a really cool way. It's pretty much how I traveled the world when I was dating my wife, who was girlfriend at the time, but yeah, part of my job. I need to go to New Zealand to do this race. Been so fortunate, but that's a great way for you to do it as well. All right, number nine, we're getting there. This is important. Had to put this one in here. Be really, really wary of unsolicited advice. You tell people that you're starting running for the first time, you're going to get everything from running is so bad for your knees. Oh, I tried and this happened. You should wear these shoes. Oh, you should read this book and follow this running coach and use this running style. This is about you. Be very careful who you listen to, whose advice you take. You know, I started number two by talking about going to that running store, getting the right shoes. People are going to say, oh, you have to run in these. They're the best. Well, maybe your feet are totally different. They most likely are. Or you have to run with this, you know, different running style and, you know, you need to go barefoot running. You're going to get everything. So just be, I would rather you just follow your gut to a large degree, listen to your own body, but you also obviously need some help along the way. I will be one of them, but seek out qualified professionals. Okay. Listen to everyone, you know, and say, that's great. But it's about you, okay? And finally, number 10, don't underestimate yourself. I've said it several times during the show. I know there are many of you out there who say, I can't do it, Tom. And that's when I wish I was still training clients. It was one of my most satisfying things. It's why I do my job. And to do it in person, I mean, it's phenomenal to write books and do this show and get, you know, emails and people saying, you know, Tom, I just got one about the show. I read it during a different podcast. This person couldn't run 2 miles, started running hills after listening to one of my shows, and suddenly they're running longer than they ever have before and enjoying the heck out of it. That's why I do this. So when you think you can't, I need you to get rid of that thinking. I need you to just start. I need you to start slowly. And again, if you are walking 28 of the 30 minutes, that's fine. If you are starting at 10 minutes, that's fine too. You're doing more than you did yesterday. And you have to be open to what you can achieve. And that's what I would say to the clients when I worked with them, is just, you got to trust me. And my goal is to not hurt you, unlike other people who push too hard too soon and want to be that tough person or just do things that aren't right for you. But an injured client isn't a good client, is what I found over the years. And oftentimes coaches will blame you when truthfully it's their fault. Okay, so my point is, be open and set your goals high and know that if you think you're not a runner, you are. Everyone has the capability. It's just a matter of how far, how fast, how frequently, and what you want to do. All right, let me give you a few quick safety tips, especially at this time of the pandemic and stuff, more and more people out there, please don't run on the same side of the road as the traffic. You need to go against traffic. You need to have the ability to see cars, especially today. And the other thing is, I not only see people running with traffic, but they're running with traffic with headphones on. Just a recipe for disaster. And if you are going to run with music on, please don't use noise-canceling headphones. You need to be aware of your surroundings, whether it's the traffic or the animals or the people. So be aware, be in control, run against traffic, use the sidewalks whenever possible, and be safe. Okay? And let me just finish up with this. You know, one day I will write a book about how exercise in general and running specifically did everything for me, saved my life. And it's just so powerful. And I want you to have that ability, as I've been saying, to go out and feel good about yourself, to control anxiety. It is one of the best antidepressants, anti-anxiety, boost your mood, boost your energy levels. And you can do it anytime, anywhere. And other than the cost of your sneakers, and you could run barefoot if you're, you know, on the beach, places like that, soft grass, but it's relatively inexpensive. And yes, you can do it for a really long time. My dad's in his 70s. He's been running, you know, since he was in his 20s, 30s, I think. Marathon still, the whole nine yards. Not a runner type body. And, you know, I had a woman many years ago, New York City. We ran her first race. She was in her 80s. 80s. 5K race, run, walk. Loved it. Loved it. The look of satisfaction on her face at that finish line was amazing. And she did it also for a cancer charity, and she was a cancer survivor herself. You don't get any more powerful than that. Okay? It's my moving meditation. Such a great way to put it. You know, and it's your time. And you can run, walk for the rest of your life. As I said, I still do it. Today, my 6 mile run, what I do is I run a mile, I walk until my heart rate comes down to a certain, you know, beat, and then I run again. I will do a show on that. I believe we're actually meant to run, walk. Topic for another day. But I don't want you to feel guilty about the walking. I want you to enjoy it. It's about you. Who cares? You know, people, oh, I don't want people to see me walking. Well, let them see you out there. That's what matters. It's about you. It's your time. And it's where I come up with ideas. It's where I de-stress. And there will never be a run where you don't feel better when you finished than you did when you started. You can do it. Thank you for listening. A little passionate about running. I know. If you have not yet subscribed to the show, why not? Please do. And please rate the show as well. Leave comments, if you can, where you are listening. And again, this show came out of so many people reaching out to me about starting running and the issues they are having while starting. So if you need to reach out, please, I love to hear from you. Tom H. Fit is Twitter and Instagram. Fitnessdisrupted.com is the website. You can reach out to me through there as well. And I have some old books if you're interested. The Marathon Method, still the plans hold true. It's for half marathons and marathons, but a lot of running advice in there as well as workouts. If you're a triathlete, I have the 12-week triathlete. And then I have a sports nutrition book called Swim, Bike, Run, Eat, too. And then the newest book with a lot of workouts and kind of philosophies and stuff is the Micro Workout Plan. Lots for you to choose from. But I want you to have your best life. I want you to feel good. And I love if you listen and things change. I can't thank you enough if you reach out and say, hey, I actually listened to some of your advice and some good things happened. And it will. I promise you. If you take the advice and you give it time and you don't worry about what other people think and you believe in yourself, great things happen. I am Tom Holland. This is Fitness Disrupted. Believe in yourself. Fitness Disrupted is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.